Yeah. We gonna add a spin on this one too, man. Y'all already know what's going on. This episode will be specifically about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Detroit Lions, man. I'm talking about the NFC Championship game, Detroit Lions, man. I'm talking about the having won two playoff games in 1 year in over 60 years, Detroit Lions, man. I'm talking about having won the NFC North in over 32 years, Detroit Lions, man. Y'all hear what I'm saying? This episode is going to be specifically about the Detroit Lions and Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the matchup that they had yesterday. I'm going to point out some key factors that I feel like help each team win. I'm going to point out just a bunch of variables that happened in this game. Things that could have went left, things that could have went right. Just a multitude of things, you know. Jared Goff is playing pretty well. Jahmyr Gibbs damn near took over the game yesterday. Lions defense made some plays yesterday. Mike Evans, was that his last game in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform? Was that Baker Mayfield's last game in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform? Does they extend him? Do Todd Boyles remain as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach? There's so many things to talk about. So let's talk about them. Obviously, if you watched the game yesterday, Detroit Lions hosted his second playoff game in the playoffs this year. And they faced the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in which they beat them 31-23. 31-23. That's what I love to see. That's what I love to see. Let's talk about it. The score going into the fourth quarter was 17-17. Right? Lions went on to score two straight touchdowns to make it 31-17. The game was kind of wrapped up by then, but you know it's a game of numbers. It's a game. With 6:22 left in the fourth quarter, it was 31-17. So it was looking good for the Lions. They were making plays. St. Brown had just caught the pick route, wheel route, touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs, before that, had broke a 31-yard run down the left sideline, in which he got in the open field with Dante Whitner, and just elusive. Jahmyr Gibbs is a playmaker. Like, I remember a lot of people last year when the Lions selected Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, people were kind of like, it was some people booing the pick. It was some people like, oh, we could have used something else for that pick. We didn't have to draft a running back right there. Why are we drafting a running back? I think he went in the top 10. It was like, why are we drafting a running back in the top 10? If I'm not mistaken, he went immediately after Robinson from that got drafted to Atlanta. It was like, why are we drafting a running back? And I'm like, hey, man, I don't know. Jahmyr Gibbs is a playmaker. He's a playmaker. He can make some things happen. I knew they had signed David Montgomery. I knew it would be like a thunder lightning kind of, you know, matchup. It would be that type of duo, dynamic duo, be thunder and lightning, because Jahmyr Gibbs was lightning. Like, he is a guy that can literally game breaker type player. No matter what it was, he can go down the field. He can break an 80-yard run. He could catch out the backfield. He can be used as a wide receiver. He can run in between the tackles. He can take a toss to the crib. He's hard to tackle in the open field. All type of things. He's just a dynamic playmaker. You know, he comes from the Alabama system. He's played against some great college teams. He's made a lot of plays in college. I knew that Jahmyr Gibbs would be great for this offense. He was a blue-collar guy. He's a winner. I just knew that he was going to be that type of guy to spark this offense and open this offense up even more, which he did. He became like a nice weapon for this team. Him and Montgomery out of the backfield was probably the best duo running backs in the NFL this year. That's arguably, if not number one, they're for sure number two. I can't even think of another duo right off the back of my head. Then their offense, I mean, the Lions offense. Let's just talk about it. the stats and the numbers was fairly even. Like, no, like when you look at the stats, both teams had a lot of numbers. They had, you know, the Tampa Bay had 408 yards, total yards. The Lions had 391. The Bucks had 319 passing yards to the Lions, 277. Bucks had 89 rushing yards to the Lions, 114 rushing yards. Bucks had 23 first downs. Lions had 26 first downs. Bucks had 5 penalties. Lions had 3 penalties. This is the thing though. You can't walk into another arena and turn the ball over twice. Obviously, Baker's last pass was an interception under 2 minutes, trying to, you know, drive his team down there to score a touchdown, but they ended up turning the ball over. But even earlier in the game, in the first quarter, he threw a basic route, and he just threw a rocket of a throw to Mike Evans over the middle, which was a tip pass. You know, he tipped off his hands, and CJ Gardner-Johnson picked the ball off, ran up the sideline, and threw the ball into Baker Mayfield's hands. Because obviously he had this little spat in the media early this week, to where I guess Gardner Johnson had said something about Rasul Gage and how he was talking about the receiving core, and Baker Mayfield was like, obviously he didn't watch film because Rasul Gage haven't played this whole year. So they was kind of going back and forth a little bit. He picked them off and then threw the ball to him. Kind of savvy. I like that. But like I said, the numbers of this game was pretty fairly. I knew this was going to kind of be like a offensive game because – neither one of these defenses they're not world beaters. They're not top 10 defenses or any of that. Obviously, they've probably been playing a little better later in the season, but these defenses can be beat. They have weaknesses, and they will probably be exploited. That's just what I've seen from that. So let's just go over the numbers. Baker Mayfield was 26 for 41, 349 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 INTs, but he also got sacked 4 times. White, the running back, Rashad Wright, he was able to run the ball pretty well. He had 9 carries for 55 yards. That was that. He really didn't run the ball. But throwing the ball downfield, I mean, Mike Evans, 8 catches for 147 yards, 1 touchdown. Iden, the tight end, 5 catches, 65 yards, 1 touchdown. Chris Godwin, 4 catches, 40 yards. And then the running back, Rashad Wright, 4 catches, 36 yards. Trey Palmer, 2 catches, 32 yards. Guys was getting distributed the ball. The Bucs offense looked good. I mean, obviously you wanted them to make more plays, only scoring 17 points basically for the predominantly most part of the game, you know. And then at the end, they scored a touchdown through a rocket of a pass. Baker Mayfield threw a rocket of a pass, a double post to Mike Evans in the red zone. Love it, but I just hate that they went for the 2. I know this whole thing about analytics and, okay, we're going to go for the 2 now because we're down by 8. You know, if we go for the 2, we'll be down by 6, and then if we score again, we'll be able to just kick the field goal to win a game. Or if we don't make this 2-point conversion, we know we have to go for the 2 on the next one. I just think that's just a little too much. I mean, if it works, sometimes it's cool, but I don't think teams should rely on that. I think you should just take the points. Because you got to understand, if you score a touchdown and you play this analytics game to where you don't convert the 2-point conversion, it kind of takes the air out of the team a little bit. It kind of takes the air out of them. Like, bro, we just drove this ball down there and scored a touchdown, and now we're going for 2 when we don't necessarily need to go for the 2, and we don't get the 2. And now you got guys on the sideline like, bro, just kick the field goal. We just scored a touchdown. Let's kick the field goal. And now at the end, if we want to go for the 2-point conversion, let's go for it then. Let's not shy away from it like, okay, now we're going to have – if we score again, we're going to have to go for the 2-point conversion because we failed the last time. We're down by 8 points. How about you just kick the field goal and then drive the ball down there and score again? Now if you want to go for the 2-point conversion and win the game, you do that. I'd rather do that than to try to – be proactive to the move. I just don't understand the whole going for the 2-point conversion analytics thing. Like, I don't think really winning coaches do shit like that. And I don't agree with that because, as I said, it kind of takes the energy out of your team a little bit. But like I said, I think the Bucks played a decent game. You know, who knew they were going to be in this moment anyway? You know, they who they beat last week? They beat Philadelphia last week. You know, there was people that were still picking Philly, even though we've seen Philly this whole year and how they were and the energy of the team and how they finished the season, which wasn't that good. There were still teams picking Philly to walk into, you know, Tampa Bay and beat them. But Tampa Bay won, right? Tampa Bay was able to win a game. So it's like they come into Detroit. I know you want to be aggressive because you want to have this winner-go-home mentality. But you gotta make the right decisions for your team. I just feel like that whole two-point conversion when you're down two scores, like, just kick the field goal, you're down by a touchdown. Now if you want to score again and now you're down by one and you want to go for the two, do that. Do that. I'll respect that more than I respect this. That's what I'm saying. But moving on to the Lions, man. Shout out to the Lions, man, advancing to the NFC Championship, having two playoff home games this year. If you was watching on TV, you know Ford Field was rocking, man. The fan base in Detroit, it's always been loyal, man. We always been able to pack out games, even though, you know, I'm just saying, bro, I witnessed the 0-16 season. I watched it with my own eyes. I watched, you know, the Lions Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving. Team just come in there and just whoop our ass. I remember the one year the Patriots came into – the Patriots played the Lions on Thanksgiving. And this one they wear them little – the old school red jerseys with the white helmets. And Randy Moss is on the team. Man, when I tell you the Patriots went crazy on us, Tom Brady got through for like 5-6 touchdowns on Thanksgiving, I was like, man, it's some BS. But – I mean, we stayed down, man. We stayed down. We got the right coach, Dan Campbell. Great offensive coordinator, great defense coordinator, Ben Johnson. I played for him when I was in Miami. He was on the coaching staff. Aaron Glenn, a legend of a corner. If y'all remember Aaron Glenn, he played for Houston, Texas for a long time. Obviously, he's a brilliant mind. You know, he has that defense playing pretty well. Able to call plays, able to get all of the guys aligned from the safeties all the way down to the D-line, able to communicate, able to do all of these things that great defense coordinators do. So shout out to him as well. But the Lions won the game. Jared Goff was 30 for 43, 287, and two touchdowns. Have the Lions found their future quarterback? Have the Lions found their future quarterback? Jared Goff. Is Jared Goff the future of the Detroit Lions? I think he is. He's a former number one quarterback. I mean, he's a former number one overall draft pick. He played in the Super Bowl, took his team to the Super Bowl. And that's what it is. Like, that is what it is. You can't say anything else about it. I think he is a great fit for the Lions. I think he has played well this year. As long as they continue to, you know, pay the guys around them, they're going to have to pay Amon St. Brown. He was an all-pro wide receiver this year. They're going to have to pay him. They're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to improve that defense as well. They're going to have to either draft a corner or find a corner that they can pay or trade for a corner. They're going to have to do something like that because they need to add to the secondary. They need to add to the D-line because outside of Hutchinson, there's not a lot of guys on that D-line that can get home, that can rush the passer and, you know, get sacks, get hurries, get bat downs, you know, play the run in the pass. They need to find guys that can do that outside of Hutchinson. That's just what it is. Like, one thing I know about NFL year to year, I'm telling you right now, the Lions will not sneak up on nobody next year. It's not going to be like, oh, is this Lions team for real? No. The Lions are in the NFC Championship right now. Teams, coaches, all of that are going to go into next year knowing that the Detroit Lions are real. And you cannot go into Detroit and sleepwalk thinking you about to just walk into a win. And even if Detroit come into your arena, your stadium, you can't think that this is just a win. Detroit is one of the most physical teams in the NFL. They're well coached. They play hard. And they do their thing. They're winning right now. Winning. And they have playmakers. They have guys around Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, St. Brown, Laporta, Jameson Williams, and he's going to get better even next year. Reynolds, you feel me? They have a lot of guys that they have around them, and they're going to continue to get better. They're going to continue to get better. I'm loving what Detroit is doing. Obviously, they travel this week to San Francisco and play the 49ers, in which I think they can win that game. I'm actually picking Detroit to go into San Francisco and win. I just feel like they have what it takes. They're a physical team. Physical teams travel. That's one thing I know about physical teams. Like, teams that's physical, that travels. The finesse teams, you know, the play action teams, the cute offensive teams, they game don't travel like that. But when you got a physical team that runs the ball and got a quarterback that can manage the game really well at a high level, that can, you know, not turn the ball over, keep you on the field, either punt the ball or end it with a punt, end it with a kick. That's what a lot of coaches say. You need quarterbacks that can end possessions with a kick, either a field goal or a punt or a PAT. No turnovers. No fumbles, no none of that. That's what you want from your quarterback. That's what you want. It's field position game and score points. That's what it's about. The Lions have what it takes. They have what it takes. Obviously, we've been seeing them play a lot this year. They play well. They've won 2 playoff games for the first time, like I said, in over 30 years. Over 50 years, for real. Over 50 years. Detroit is rocking right now. It's time. It's time for the Lions to go ahead and go to the Super Bowl. It's time for the Lions to put it all together. I just feel like that would be the better story. I don't want to see the 49ers go to the Super Bowl. I just don't. Like, we've seen them in the Super Bowl. We've seen them in a Super Bowl before. And you know what we've seen? We've seen them up by 10 points in the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl. And they lost that game to Patrick Mahomes. They went into the fourth quarter up by 10 points and lost. I don't want to see them in the Super Bowl. I just don't. I don't want to see them in the Super Bowl. I would love to see the Lions in the Super Bowl. The Lions have the team to do it. They have the coach to do it. Great story. Like, this ain't no Cinderella story either. Ain't nothing Cinderella about this team. This team is physical. This team is dynamic. This team plays great. This team has some big wins this year. And this team is on a roll right now. You can tell the energy of that team in that locker room. They play for each other. They play together. They got each other's backs. That's what you love to see. And that's what I'm loving to see. I'm loving it. Loving what they're doing. Loving how they're playing. And I just think they got enough to go in there and beat the 49ers. That's just me. Especially if Deebo Samuel is out. Obviously, Deebo Samuel will not be 100%. He probably won't even be 80% or 75%. Maybe not even 60%. He got hurt in the first quarter yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. And no, not yesterday. The day before yesterday. He got hurt in that game. He didn't come back out in the second half. He came out in street clothes. He was ruled out of that whole game. And this is a reoccurring shoulder injury. He had a shoulder injury early in the year where he missed 3 games straight. And then after that 3 games, it was a bye week. So he really had four weeks to rest. You don't have that right now. You don't have 4 weeks to rest. You don't have one week to rest. I mean, you only have 1 week. Not even that. So, we're going to see how that goes. We're going to see how that goes. We're going to see if he's going to play. But like I said, even if he's out there, he will not be 100%. He will not be 80%. Every time he get hit or hits somebody, he will feel that pain. How would that limit him? We're going to see. We're going to see. So, But I'm gonna break that game down. I'm gonna break the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship down later. I'm gonna break that down in episodes to come. But like I said, man, shout out to the Detroit Lions, man. Great game plan, great win. And now they just got to travel on the road and win this game. And now then they be playing in Vegas. I think this will be the first Super Bowl in Detroit Lions history. And once the bowl game start, man, anything is possible. You never know. Anything is possible once the Super Bowl start. You never know who's going to show up and who's not going to show up in the highest of magnitudes of moments. You never know. So if they can just get into the dance, they have a chance. That kind of rhyme, huh? If they can just get into the dance, they got a chance. If they can just get into the dance, and they got a chance. If they can just get into the dance, and they got a chance. You dig what I'm saying? You feel me? But shout out to the Detroit Lions, man. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I'm expecting greatness this week. Gonna have to play a great game and win this week. Get ready. But shout out to episode 80 of the Speak On It podcast. If you tuned in, I appreciate you. If you haven't tuned in yet, I appreciate you too. You dig what I'm saying? Speak On It podcast. Lip out.